Start today at the Torreway in northwest London. Friday, 10th December, 6th of Teves, Rabbi Sholem Siegel. Parshas Vayigash, crying for the past and praying for the future. This week's Torreway has been sponsored by Vadichka Lichvud Hanisrim of Mordechai Rad and Mindy Roth. He wrote and Shivnu Bais, Nemo, Bishon Hashem, on his Mishnah.
Thank you, good morning. In this week's Parsha, as you know, Parsha Vayigash, so Yosef finally reveals himself to the brothers, and they have this very emotional reunion. And this is the moment when finally everything, the veil has come down, and Yosef and Binyamin, they embrace. And the Pasuk says, Vayipod al tzavari Binyamin al-chiv, Vayif, Perek Memhei, Pasuk Yodadad, and Yosef fell on the neck of Binyamin, his brother, Vayiv, and he cried, Ubinyamin bacha al tavorov, and Binyamin, he cried on the neck of Yosef. And Rashi, probably a Rashi I'm sure you're familiar with, Rashi says, what's this about crying on each other's neck? So Rashi says that each one was crying over the Beis Hamikdash, or the Mishkan, which was going to be built in the other one's chedek, and was going to be destroyed. Rashi says, what was it that Yosef was crying over? He was crying over the two Bate Mikdash that would be, in the future, would be built in the Chedek of Binyamin, and in the end, they would subsequently be destroyed. As for Binyamin, why was he crying over on the neck? The neck of Yosef, al Mishkan Shiloh, because of the Mishkan of Shiloh, she'asidiyas b'chalka shel Yosef, which would be built in Yosef's portion, v'sefer echarev, and would subsequently be destroyed. And the obvious question over here is a few points. Number one, if you look at what happened when the brothers, it goes on the next pasuk, v'yinashik l'chol echov, v'yiv kareyem, so he kisses all the brothers and he cries on them, v'aparichin dibiru echov ito. Why didn't the other brothers cry on the neck of Yosef? Why didn't they cry over the Mishkan which would be built in the Chedek of Yosef and subsequently would be destroyed? Why only? Because they're not crying over their own destruction. They're crying over the destruction of somebody else. Yosef was crying over the destruction in the Chedek of Binyamin. Binyamin was crying over the destruction in the Chedek of Yosef. So why didn't the other brothers cry on the neck of Yosef over the destruction of the Mishkan in the Chedek of Yosef later on? Question one. Question two, when Yaakov Avinu comes down, same thing, same question.
Those two were particularly involved, it was there to collect him.
I realise, but they're not crying over themselves, they're crying over, Yosef is crying over the downfall of Binyamin.
And Binyamin
over the downfall of Yosef, so in which case the other brothers.
Why necessarily should the other brothers be?
Because, again, they're crying over somebody else's downfall, so in which case Reuven should have cried on the neck of Yosef over the downfall of Yosef.
Still not quite the same.
Question is, why not?
They're sympathizing with each other.
Besides anything, okay, let's see.
What's the connection between
That's going to be question number three. We'll come to that in a second. Question two first. Right, question number two is, when Yaakov Avinu comes down, so he has this epic reunion with Yosef, what does it say there? So Yosef Merikavte, Vayali Krasi Yisrael, Ovin Goshenus, his Perik Membov, Posel Chavtes. So Yosef prepares his chariot, he goes up to meet his father. Vayero Elov, he appears to his father, Vayipol al Tavorov. The way Rashi learns it, the Ramban disagrees, but he fell on the neck of Yaakov. Vayik al Tavorovoit, and he cried, once again, on the neck of Yaakov. Rashi says, what about Yaakov? Yaakov didn't fall on the neck of Yosef. Yaakov didn't cry over the neck of Yosef. Says Rashi, why? What was he doing? As you all know, he was reading Kriya Shema. Right? As Rashi says, Aval Yaakov lo nofal al tzavere Yosef v'lo nishokai. He didn't fall on the neck of Yosef, didn't kiss him. V'omer Rabbi Sina shoyo Kriya Shema. It's interesting. Rashi doesn't say, the Loshon of Rashi will come back to Bezal Hashem. He didn't fall on the neck of Yosef. Just say he didn't cry, he didn't kiss him. What's this whole business about falling on the neck? Once again, it sounds like he didn't fall on the neck of Yosef. He didn't cry over the downfall of Yosef. You're going to tell me this time because he wasn't involved? Yaakov Avinu was the one who set the foundations for the Beis Hamikdash. We know in Parashas Vayetze, with all those stones. Yaakov was most definitely involved more than anyone else. So why didn't he cry? He's busy saying Kriyat Shema. There must be something going on here. But like you said, the most basic question over here is, why now? You've got 22 years to catch up on, and you're busy crying over the Beis HaMikdash, which is going to be in hundreds of years. It's going to be built, and will stand for hundreds of years, and you're busy crying now. Like, what's going on over here? So, yes, you are quite correct that obviously there's something a little bit more here, because these are the two big players. But we have to understand, what does that mean? Besides being the Bnei Rochel, Yosef and Binyamin, and obviously therefore they shared a lot in common, just picking out one nakuda, what's relevant to us today is the following. Both of them were alone. Both of them for 22, or the better part of 22 years, were alone. Yosef in Mitzrayim, Binyamin up in Canaan. Yosef was literally alone, completely segregated, completely cut off from his family. Binyamin was the lone son of Rochel amongst all those brothers, who obviously disagreed with the path, the shitta, as it were, of the Bnei Rochel. And what's going on over here is, over these 22 years, 22 being very symbolic, as Hashem we may come back to, 22 being the building blocks of everything in Yiddishkeit, 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which make up the Torah. So the 22 are the building blocks. And what's Yosef doing? Yosef is building one of the foundations for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Mishkan. He's building, we're seeing here, the form, as the two foundations on which the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. The two foundations are being formulated in two parts of the world. One in Mitzrayim and the other one in Canaan. What are these two foundations? In Mitzrayim we have Yosef. He's building the foundation of, call it segregation. The ability to live within this world, but as it were, not to be of the world. I once heard that, going back some years, they were having some debate. They were having a debate in the House of Lords. They were having a debate about what we're saying today, about, call it alternative lifestyles, etc., etc. And it was at that time, apparently, that Princess Diana, she'd done this very, very courageous thing of shaking the hand of somebody who I think was suffering from AIDS or something like that. Yeah. And one of the lords got up and he addressed his question directly at Rabbi Lord Jacobowitz, Zech Tzadik Levracha, and he said, like, what? In other words, what would you say to that? Isn't it amazing, you know, this courageous act? What would be your approach to such a thing? And he said he had obviously a few moments to formulate an answer. He didn't know what he was going to say. And he said all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just at that moment gave him a flash of inspiration. And he got up and he said the following. He said, again, the exact wording, I don't know, but it was something to the effect of, yes, we are called Ivrim. I think he said we're called Ivrim, the Jews are called the Ivrim, because we are on the other side. We are put into this world, but we are not of this world. Meaning to say that, yes, since we live in a world with all other nations, etc., we have to know, we have to accept that there are going to be other ways of life. But we don't have to accept, we don't have to buy into it, just because we are in this world. Yosef was, here he was, second in command in Mitzrayim. He was living in a society, complete and utter tumult, with all their philosophies and everything that came with it. And Yosef had this ability to live there, but still be the same Yosef HaTzadik. 22 years later, when the Agadis came back, he was the same Yosef HaTzadik as 22 years earlier when he left the land of Canaan. And that's represented in the names he gave to his children, Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe ki nashani erekid. I've been, as it were, cut off from the Kedusha of Beis Yaakov, all my brothers, the Kedusha of Eretz Canaan. I'm here alone. And yet, Ephraim, ki Ephraim yelikim be'eretz oni, I've succeeded to flourish, doesn't mean just in terms of having children. I've continued to grow in terms of my ruchnius. Ki Ephraim yelikim be'eretz oni, despite the fact that Menashe, yes, still Ephraim. That is the first of the two foundations, is the ability to segregate ourselves, to realize we are different, like the oil, we've just passed Hanukkah, like the oil. Doesn't mix with the water, rises up and above the water. To realize we are special, we are the Am Segula, and therefore we are different. We have to except that yes, we are in this world, but we are not of the world. That is the foundation stone of Yosef. What about Binyamin? What's going on with Binyamin? So here, as we said, you've got Binyamin. He's longing for his brother. As we know, he gave his 10 sons, all the names he gave to his 10 sons were all expressions of these Gargoyim longing for his brother. He was alone. He was the only seemingly surviving son of Rachel. And as we said, the brothers viewed the sons of Rachel as having these strange shitters. And yet, despite that, what happened? After selling Yosef, the brothers looked after Binyamin in a completely, in an incredible way. To the extent that we know at the beginning of this week's parasha, Yehuda is prepared to put his life on the line in order to protect his brother. This is what we'd call the middle of Avo in Odom Rachaveiroi. It's despite the fact that we may not necessarily agree with one another, but yet we care for one another because ultimately we are all brothers. We are all Bnei Yaakov. And therefore, Binyamin was the embodiment of this second middle, the middle of V'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, to be able to get on. We may have difference of opinions, but we can agree to disagree. And we're prepared to put our lives on the line in order to protect our brothers. These are the two foundations for the Beis HaMikdash. Number one, as a nation to realize as Yidden we are different. And number two, this middle of being Adam Machaber. Yes, sorry.
Was Yehuda protecting Binyamin, or was he protecting Yaakov?
Whichever way you look at it, the Maaser, he was prepared to put his life on the line for the sake of Binyamin, which was ultimately, that's how they explain, that was the whole, what Yosef was waiting for. There's a Mahalik that they explain, that's what, the Yosef didn't reveal himself until he saw that change from what happened with Yosef to what happened to Binyamin. It's a fair point that yes, he had the responsibility, hence he was the one who stepped forward. You're right, but ultimately, soft call soft, they protected this brother of this son of Yaakov.
But Yehuda was extremely remorseful for selling his brother.
And Achami, that's what he's waiting to see.
To sure.
And Achami, so fine. So now we have these two middles. Now Binyamin, let's picture it going back to last week's Sedra. You have the brothers, they come down to Mitzrayim. They all come down to Mitzrayim, Binyamin and Yosef are there. The two foundations are coming closer together. But as the Maharal puts it, in Gur Aryeh, he explains this idea of the neck. He says they're like 2 feet, the two legs, which are still two relatively independent, separate bodies, limbs. Okay, that's what you've got here. You've got the foundation of Yosef, you've got the foundation of Binyamin, formulating in two different parts of the world. Now they come that little bit closer together. They come as the leg, you go up the legs, you come to the torso, you come to the body, where the legs join as one. Says the Maharal, but it's still not 100% one. You've still got two arms, you've still got two rib cages. Within the torso, within, it's still not quite one. Says the Maharal, until you come to the neck. Then all of a sudden, everything merges into one jugular, one major artery there. You've got this. This is the point, says the Maharal. That's why you find the words in Lashon HaKodesh for neck. Tzavor, we're talking about one neck. Sometimes it's written in the singular, sometimes it's written in the plural. Because the idea of the neck is the point where everything comes to that singular, to that point of connection. That's the moment when Yosef and Binyamin, they embraced. So yes, what initially they're in Canaan and Mitzrayim, two separate legs. Binyamin comes together with the brothers, they come down to Mitzrayim, now they've gone into the torso, into the body. They're that bit closer, but they're not yet one. The two foundations haven't quite joined together yet. And as they embrace now, at that point when they embrace, you've got this, the neck, they all come together, the two brothers come together, and you've got the two foundations there. Now the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, it's all the same, it's all ready to be built. And they fall on each other's neck. And now we'll understand, why did Binyamin cry over Yosef's downfall? Why not over his own downfall? Why did Yosef cry over Binyamin's downfall, not over his own downfall? The answer is, because as they cried on each other's neck, they embraced, the two middles came together. And they can see in their mind's eye these 22 years of suffering, 22 years of hard labor. What have we been building? We've been working for the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash. And what do they see? The Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan will be built. And Yosef looks off into the future. And he sees in the Chelek of Binyamin, he can see the Beis HaMikdash is standing there. And all of a sudden, the Beis HaMikdash begins to crumble. Why? What's happened? What went wrong? Says the Ramban at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. When Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim El Esav Ochi, Yaakov sends Malachim ahead. He wanted to make peace, make a peace treaty, a peace pact with Esav. Says the Ramban over there, this is a mistake. Well, obviously, we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, but it's a mistake we've repeated time and time again. Each and every time we try to make that peace pact, it rebounds and it works to our detriment. And he says it's recorded in various Dibra Yomim, there's reference to Yosefun, various others for him. Says the Ramban, that what happened, if you want to know, the root cause of the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash was they signed a peace pact with the Romans. That's actually what it was. They signed a peace pact and everything started spiraling out of control. So Yosef sees this. He says, I've worked 22 years to build this Yosef of what? Of segregation. To realize we are different. We are in a different place. We've got to be separated. We've got to live within this world, but not be of the world. And he can suddenly see his Yosef in the Chiluk of Binyamin. That's what's crumbling. So he cries. What does Yosef see? Sorry, that's Yosef. What about Binyamin? Binyamin's embracing Yaakov, embracing Yosef. And he sees in the Chiluk of Yosef, the Mishkan of Shiloh. This beautiful structure, a place of Hashras Hashchina, and all of a sudden, the Mishkan of Shiloh, everything's falling apart. What's happening? The Oren is being captured. What's going on? What does he see? The two sons of Eli. The two sons of Eli, literally put, it seems that they're committing an act of Zanus, say Chazal, no. Kolayim, anyone who says that Chotu bin Eli, Eina Elatoya. What went wrong? Was that they delayed the wives going back to their husbands, when the wives would come to bring their korbanos, the kitzav, as a result of Chofni and Pinchas, the wives had to delay going back to their husbands. Husband and wife is the ultimate expression of Kulei Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, V'Hoi Yudavos HaRecho. And they were holding that back. So what happens as a result of it? Listen to the Pasuk then, in Shmuel Aleph Perek Dalet, Sukkim Dalet all the way through to Yadalet, but just to pick out one Pasuk there. V'Yishlach Ha'om Shiloh. They're going out to fight. So they go and they send for the Oren. What does the apostle say? It doesn't describe it just as the Oren. Oren Beris Hashem. Tzavokis. Yosef HaKeruvim. The point is, this is the Oren on which, what have you got on top? The Keruvim. The Keruvim which we know represents, they are the embodiment, the symbol of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Embracing. V'Shom Shnei B'nei Evi Im Oren Beris Harikim Chofni Pinchas. There you have the Oren, the Chofni and Pinchas. The complete antithesis to this middle of the Oren. And we know what happened, it goes on, the Oren, Erekim, Nilkach, eventually the Oren of Hashem was captured. Next word, Ushnei v'nei Eli Mesu, Chofni and Pinchas. And the two sons of Eli, they died. What went wrong with the Mishkan of Chilo was a failure in this middle of V'hatel Re'echa Kamecha of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That's what went wrong. Hence, the Oren with the Kerubim was captured. Chofni and Pinchas died because they were the catalyst for this. When Binyamin sees that, Binyamin says, I suffered for 22 years, being the catalyst for the brothers coming, uniting as one, despite our differences. 22 years, 22 building blocks, and it's all crumbling in the Chiluk of Binyamin. And that's why he cried. Now we understand why, as you said, it's up to these two players. Yosef, sorry, I keep getting mixed up here, yeah. Dafka these two, because yes, these are the two players. The obvious question though is, in fact, before I go on, just listen to the Pesukim. You see it in the Pesukim, there's a little bit of a remnant to it. Again, when Yosef, he falls on the neck of his brothers, etc. And he says to them, just before that, he says, behold your eyes see, V'eineyochi Binyamin, and the eyes of my brother Binyamin. You see, he splits into two. A remnant to the fact that there's you and there's Binyamin. That's the middle of being different. He's a Ben Rochel, you're not. But yet, you've managed to come together. And he says, Kifi Hamidaber Aleichem, that it's my mouth that's speaking to you. Says Rashi, what's Kifi Hamidaber Aleichem? Says Rashi, he says it here somewhere. In other words, I'm still speaking Lashon HaKodesh. He showed them the Bris Milah. In other words, I may have been in Mitzrayim. I may have been in a land of Tumah, but I'm still the same Yosef HaTzadik as before. Here you see, he alludes to these two middos. Einechem ve'eni ochi v'nyomim, that's his middle v'in adam ha'chaviroi, and kifi ha'medar ve'aleichem. And then, two psukim later, they embrace. These two middos come together, but each of them sees the building, whether it's of the Mishkan, or whether it's the Beis HaMikdash, but they also see the faltering and the crumbling of their particular middah in the other one's portion, and that's why they cried. Now, what about Yaakov Avinu? The truth is that Yaakov Avinu, if you go back to when he had that meeting with Esau, what happened? They embraced. And it says over there that we know that Esau, although it says in the Pasuk, he kissed him, did he kiss him, did he bite him? So Chazal tell us that he bit him in the neck. What happened to the neck? The neck turned to stone. It says that by Yivku, they cried. Says the Medrash, each cried. What did they cry over? So obviously, Esau cried over the fact he lost a lot of teeth. That's what the Medrash says. Yaakov? Yaakov Avinu, he was crying over his neck. What's he crying? Because his neck hurt? It turned to stone. Nothing happened. The answer is, he understood. Esau biting him in the neck was reference to what's going to happen. The neck is the place of the Beis HaMikdash, right? So this is, he can see that Rome is going to come and destroy our Beis HaMikdash. He cried. Of course he cried. But now as he's going down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov's whole outlook changed. He's busy saying Kriya Shema. Why? What happened? The answer is in last week's Sedra. He says, when he sends off the brothers, Yaakov Avinu, he says, look, I've suffered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look after you, etc. So what does Rashi say over there? Let's find the pasuk. So Rashi says, what did Yaakov mean when he said, what did he mean when he said, V'keil shakai yitein lochem rachamim? So Rashi says, Umedroshay, Misha Omar la'ilam dai. The one who said to the world, enough, Yomar David Tzareisa, should say enough for my troubles. Shereh shokat timin uroi. I haven't had a moment's peace or tranquility since my youth. Tzoras Lobon, count it up. Tzoras Lobon. The whole suffering in the house of Lobon. Tzoras Esau. And he had to meet Esau. Tzoras Rochel, losing Rochel, etc. Tzoras Dino, v'shechem. Tzoras Yosef, 22 years. And remember, he doesn't yet know it's over. Right? Tzoras Shimon. Now Shimon's locked up in Mitzrayim as well. And now Tzoras Binyamin. How many is that? How many Tzoras have we had there?
Seven.
It's seven. Seven Tzoras. Seven and he says, die. Enough. And now, finally, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did say enough. Not only did he say enough, but suddenly he saw how it all turns around. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kol. Yaakov Avinu, he saw the fulfillment of this. The yes, he fell, as it were, he suffered seven sorrows. But now, Shimon was back. Yosef was back. Binyamin was back. Dina had pulled through. He was able to see how all these trials and tribulations, all of these moments of suffering, were building him ultimately for the Vakar. Just very briefly, the idea of 22. 22 building blocks, 22 letters. The idea, again, is based on what you'll find in Sfarim. The idea is 22 letters can be broken down into seven groups of three. And there's obviously one letter left over, and that's the Aleph. The Aleph is the letter which, like, is the umbrella from which all the letters come out. And the way you can see this is, take Aleph. So you take Aleph out. Then go, Beis Gimel Dalet. It's very quickly here. Beis Gimel Dalet is Gematria 9. 9 is the same as Mispar Koton as Emes. Emes means stability. Go on, next one. So you've got Beis Gimel Dalet. Hey Vav Zion is Gematria 18. 1 plus 8, that's the magical number 9. 1 plus 8, you're back to 9. And you go on, the next three letters give you 27. 2 plus 7, back to 9. All the way through to the end. If you start, however, with the Aleph, right? Aleph Beis Gimel, you get 6. 6 is the same as Mispar Koton as Sheker. Everything will crumble. You go on, you get the next one will be 15. 1 plus 5 is 6, is again the same as Mispar Koton as Sheker. In other words, the true way of building this is, the Aleph is the what unites everything. If you've got that sense of unity, from which all the letters come out, then there will be Emes. And that's what's going on over here. You've got all these seven building blocks, ultimately. Made up of three parts. Maybe we can call it a past, a present, and a future. Just for our purposes. Right, whatever the three lines represent. And they're all Yaakov Avinu sees these seven sufferings. It seems everything's falling apart. But Yaakov Avinu sees, in the end, the call. Since everything is connected at the very roots, with an aleph, the oneness that unites everything, you can cut the tree down, everything seems to have disappeared, but that initial seed from which everything grew, that seed is still there. That's what unites all the branches, all the leaves, it's that initial seed. And that initial seed, you can't take away. Because that initial seed represents, it comes from it's a manifestation of the Yichud, the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here, as Yaakov Avinu is coming down to Mitzrayim, Yosef falls on his neck. He sees Yaakov Avinu and he says, everything Yaakov Avinu we've all been building for. You with the 12 stones at, Parashas Vayetze. What you cried when Esau bit your neck. But Yaakov Avinu, all of a sudden, he understands. He says, this is not a moment to cry. It's a moment to say Kriya Shema, because as I come down to Mitzrayim, I've seen the fulfillment of Shavua Yipol Tzadik V'Kol. Ultimately, there's an eighth part somewhere there which is keeping everything together and will guarantee there will be a future. There will be a future, and therefore it's not a time to cry, it's a time to daven for the future. Hence he was saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Erekeinu, Hashem Echad. That's what Yaakov Avinu was doing. He understood that's why the net turned to Eben. Eben represents there will be a future. As Rashi says in Parashas Vayechi, Eben is Netrikum for Av Uben. The father may go, but the son will continue on the legacy of the father. There will be a continuation. And that's why the Maharal says the material which represents the middah of Yaakov, of Yisrael, is Eben. It's stone. There will be continuation. And therefore, that's the luz bone, the luz which is, we're told, is in the neck. They can gnaw at our neck, but there is a luz bone. There's a certain part of us which is invincible, which will guarantee there will be a continuation, there will be a future. Hence Yaakov Avinu, he was saying Kriya Shema. We know that's Rabbi Akiva, the same message with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, which by the way is the same osius as Yaakov, again there's connection there, obviously he's got an extra aleph or hey, but it's the same message. We know at the end of Sefes Makos, you've got Rabbi Akiva with the other Rabbanim, they're all crying when they see Shu'olim Hilchuvo, Rabbi Akiva's laughing. What did Rabbi Akiva see there? The same as Yaakov Avinu. He says, if there's a fox walking there, if you've got a fox walking there, it senses there's a bit of life there. It's not walking there for no reason. You don't see anything. You see destruction. But we know that the land has been plowed over. Plowing is preparing for a future. Rabbi Akiva, in the same way as Yaakov Avinu, was able to look at the troubles and see, you know what? The calm. They're all, ultimately, they are nefidus l'tzorech aliyah. Let me just conclude. Let me conclude with a Mori de Kamaisa. That the time when they evacuated Gush Katif. So the government had given the orders to, on a certain date, they had to evacuate all the Yidden there. There were many soldiers who were obviously they were just, as it were, obeying orders. They were hoping it wouldn't come to fruition. They davened for it. Finally, on that given day, the army trucks came in and. There was a certain American soldier who had fallen in love with Eretz Yisrael. He'd been in the army for 3 years already, and he was leading a certain group of soldiers. He went off to the shul to daven with them. So you had the shul being led by their rabbi in Gush Katif. They were davening. Maybe something would still stop this tragedy. And here you have Dubi. That was the name. I don't know if that's the true name, but he was standing at the back of the shul. He was davening, crying with them. Comes the end of davening. He walks over to the rabbi. No words needed to be said. The Rav said to him, we'll go willingly, don't worry. The main thing is that no Yid should raise his hand against another Yid. Dubi said to the Rav, he said to him, look, we'll try and make this as easy as possible. And Taka, the soldiers, they helped the women, the children, get on the coaches, etc., etc. Finally, everyone's boarded the last coach, and you've just got Dubi and the Rav standing by the coach, ready to get on. All of a sudden, Dubi, just on impulse, he grabs his bag. He takes out of the bag, he takes his small scissor. He grabs the scissor, he takes out a pen, inscribes the date, digs a hole in the ground and puts the scissor in the ground. Covers it over. So the Rav looks at him, he says, what are you doing? So he says, I just have a certain feeling, I'm telling you, there's going to be a time in the future, it could be 10 years, it could be 20 years, it could be 50 years, but Yidden are going to come back here. And they're going to find my scissor. And I want them to know that when we left Gush Katif, we left our heart, we left it behind. When the Rav heard that, he embraced him, they got onto the bus together, and off they went. Little did he know, it would only be 11 months later, he would be sent in as part of the engineer corps. He was sent in undercover at night to set up a tent. The idea was that from there they'd have a base from which they could go deep into Gaza. 11 months later, you could see that evacuation didn't really help anything. Sunrise came that morning, the next morning, and he looks around in the place of all this, the beautiful gardens and oasis of life. There was just rubble, absolutely nothing there. He couldn't believe it. Just, he said he didn't know what called, you know, made him do this. It was completely illogical, but he just fell to the ground and he started digging with his hands. He couldn't believe it. Out of everywhere he could have been, suddenly his hands hit on something hard. He pulls it out, and would you believe it? Obviously, it's his scissor. He was completely bowled over. He phoned his father in America, who put him in touch with their Rav, and the Rav, he says, you know, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's he telling me? So the Rav says, to be honest with you, this is out of my league, I'm not an Urim Atumim, you'll have to go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So they arranged a meeting, they went to Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim said to Dovi, tell me, what did you do to try and stop the evacuation? So he said, I davened like everyone else, I pleaded. He said, no, but what did you do after the evacuation? So he wasn't sure what does Reb Chaim want. I mean, what was there to do? He said, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling you. Even after the evacuation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling you, never bury your siddur. Never bury your siddur as if to say, well, it's, you know, it's all over. Continue to daven. Even when things look like it's all over, you didn't say these words, but like Yaakov Avinu. Sheva Yipal Tzadik Vekom. There's an aleph there. There's a certain sense of connection which is gonna put us back. We're attached. It will bring us back. If you would have continued to daven, who knows? Maybe those coaches would have, within a week, 2 weeks, whatever it was, maybe they would have been pulled back and things could have been different. This week, obviously, is going to be with Asara B'Tavis. We know the Chasam Sofer says Asara B'Tavis is the Yom Adin. It's the day on which we're judged, will the Beis Hamikdash be rebuilt this year? It's the moment, it's that route. Nothing has happened yet. They were just laying siege. Things could have gone either way. If we continue to daven, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see that Be'ez Hashem this year, that the Yom Adin will be in our favor, and instead of it being destruction with seemingly complete oblivion, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see ourselves being brought back to the Beis Hamikdash in its full glory with those two foundation stones of Yosef and Binyamin. Have a good time. Yeah. Yeah.
And in I hope it's a man to cry, I will say, oh, we are here.
Wishing everyone a very good Shabbos.
Oh, it's great.